I'm Brad Locke.
And I'm Gene Phelps, and this is Prep Rally.
We're talking Northeast Mississippi High School sports, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome into a new episode of Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast and webcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. I'm your host, Brad Locke, joined by Blake Morgan and Gene Phelps. This is a webcast and a podcast. The webcast coming to you live around 11 a.m. every Wednesday. The podcast version drops later in the day. You can listen to it in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at the Prep Rally. DJournal.com if you just want to listen to it. So we've got a big show today. Of course, there's plenty of football to talk about. I want to remind you that you can follow us on Twitter at DJournalPreps so you can get notified when a new show drops every week. And we also tweet scores from there like crazy on Friday night during football season. And links to stories and whatnot. Our guys here, Blake and Gene, do a good job of covering the prep scene here in Northeast Mississippi. So guys, let's start by looking back at week six, the week six rewind. A lot of big games, a lot of division openers last week, and we're going to look at a couple of those games that we covered. Let's start with Tupelo and Hernando, Gene, and this was a game that, you know, you look at the records, they're both undefeated. You look at Hernando's offense, they're putting up, more than 40 points a game. You think, oh, we might have ourselves a good little game here. Tupelo blew them out of the water, shut them out. 31-0. Was that surprising at all?
Wasn't a surprise with the way Tupelo's defense has played this season.
Sure.
They're really playing well, and they're getting a little better every week. And they just took a lot of things away that Hernando tried to do. I heard Hernando was going to pass the ball a lot more, but they didn't really throw that much. They just never really got anything going. And offensively, Tupelo does a really good job of taking what the defense gives them. Looking at the film, scouting opponents, Hernando did a really good job pinching in with their tackles and ends and taking away the middle. So Tupelo ran 7 receivers on 19 speed sweeps and rushed for 161 yards.
I was going to ask you about that.
Just those guys.
Yeah, just the receivers. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of typical of a Trent Hammond offense at times, isn't it?
It is. And Austin Watkins, who's a receiver or slot back, scored 2 of those touchdowns. And Dante Freeman scored the other. So their 3 rushing touchdowns came from their wide receivers. And Tupelo will do that to you. You've got to try to stop Jaquarius Williams in the backfield. Yeah. Jay Rock, we've talked about him many times. They've got a sophomore quarterback who we've talked about, Stephon McGlynn. They're still working on him hooking up and going vertical. He did go vertical one time. Laquavion Webb, I believe, caught the pass. It was about a 25-yard strike. Again, both touchdown passes that McGlynn has thrown this year have been on the money and the only place the receiver could catch the ball.
Yeah, and he had a good game, 13 for 16?
He did, yeah. And the touchdown pass. So, Tupelo looking solid. Got to go to – we'll talk about this later.
Yeah, we got to go to Columbus this week, and we'll touch on that when we look ahead. Play. That's right. Another game, this was a non-division game, but it was Kossuth and 3A, our number one small school, taking on 4A Corinth. And, you know, you talk a lot about Jaylee Adams, but really the quarterback, Matthew Bobo, kind of had the big game here, didn't he, Blake?
Yeah, he was the main guy. And, you know, I was talking about it with the Kossuth guys in the press box with their radio people about Jaylee. And I mean, he's struggled with some dinged up injuries and whatnot this year. Yeah. So he just hadn't really had the senior year he was hoping for.
Sure.
And I mean, he had 81 yards rushing, I believe. So he just wasn't himself, but Matthew Bobo pulled out a great game. And late, when the game was pretty close, you know, they were running the football, and it was Bobo that was really the one extending the game and really pushed the lead.
Yeah, he ran it. He passed it. Ended up with a 42-29 win. And they took some gambles, too, didn't they? Went some fourth downs, pulled out a little
trickery. I asked the coach about it afterwards because I was like, I can't remember if they attempted an onside or not, but I think they did. They went for it on fourth down a few times, like early when the game was, you know, very much in question and whatnot. And they also did 2 different wide receiver, you know, you throw a lateral to a wide receiver and he throws it down the
double
field.
Pass,
well, one got blown up, but the other, you know, they went back to it again later. And I was just like, I mean, you know, did you come in thinking you were going to try all these different trick plays and whatnot? And he said, I mean, you know, we keep all those in the playbook, and we tell the players every week, like, you know, this, you never know when it's going to happen. And he said it just kind of felt right in the game flow to break them out, and they were rewarded.
Yeah, so a big win for Kossuth there. And then they'll jump into division play this week as well. Corinth, we'll talk about Corinth's matchup here in a bit as well. And then he had West Point, always a good game. They opened division play, Division 1 5A against Oxford, winning 22-8, snapping a five-game losing skid to the Chargers. And, you know, Oxford, this is obviously not the team that made it to the state championship game last year, lost a lot of good players. It's still a good team, Gene, but West Point, they're looking like the team that might contend in 5A this year.
Oh, sure. And, you know, you just look back at Oxford and you lose Jack Abraham and DK Metcalf. There's your.
Yeah. It's most of your offense.
Yeah. And they had a lot of great players to complement them. This West Point team.
Typical West Point. They're going to run the ball. They're going to beat you up on defense.
Yeah. And they've got, I think Blake may be a little bit more familiar. They've got the quarterback from Saltillo down there now.
Really?
And he's, you know, so they're throwing the ball a little bit more.
Okay.
And the name escapes me, or I would
I
throw
it's
it.
It's Knight, isn't it?
It's Knight. Knight, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
And he's really having a, you know, a good season, and he gives them that vertical threat.
Yeah, which you don't see that a lot with West Point quarterbacks. They tend to be run first guys, and maybe they'll throw it a little bit, and right. Maybe not that effectively, right. But they don't usually need to. So, yeah, West Point looks really good there in 5A. Some other notable results from this past weekend. Pontotoc defeating Ripley to stay undefeated, 49-20. Itawamba AHS stays undefeated, defeating Kosciuszko, 34-14. New Albany in a shootout with North Pontotoc, guys, 59-49, the final. Jordan Lipsy had 300 yards rushing and four touchdowns. It's pretty good. A lot of points in that one. New Albany defeating North Pontotoc. Good win for the Bulldogs there. Let's look ahead now. We got a lot of big games this week. Other teams are opening division play. Some teams opened last week. This week, basically everybody else is getting into division play. So the games that really matter are now getting underway here in week 7, which, by the way, I can't believe it's week 7 already.
It's flying by.
God, it always does, man.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Number 4, East Webster. This is our number 4 small school. This should be a good one, taking on number 2, Calhoun City. And their 4-2A opener for both teams, Division 4, 2A. In fact, we had a story today on East Webster.
I had a story today, and I'm going to have a preview of this game coming out on Friday
right.
as well. East Webster playing really well. I mean, 5-1, and that's with their quarterback coming into the year. Brand got hurt, and, you know, so they had to move a wide receiver, Miller Hancock.
Yeah.
The coach, Doug Wilson, was telling me that he's our most athletic player, but we've just had to move him to quarterback. And East Webster's usually been a much like West Point, you know, run the ball and, you know, wear you down. But coming into the year, they thought they would really be kind of throwing the football a lot with Brand. But with the injury, he broke his collarbone against Houston earlier in the year. And, you know, so they've had to move Hancock to quarterback. And so now they're back to the, running the football and whatnot. And, you know, even being 5-1, Wilson said, you know, there's a lot of room to improve. You can tell he's happy with the record, but knows that this team has a long way to go.
Yeah, but they are certainly a contender in 2A. Of course, they had to get a new quarterback this year because one of Doug's sons, Jack Wilson, graduated. He was a good quarterback for them last year. Does have another son still on the team, making a difference on defense. Luke Wilson, not the actor.
Not the actor.
The football player. So their defense is making an impact, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And Luke, he led the team with tackles last year. He's second this year in tackles at the linebacker position. You know, coming into the year, Coach Wilson didn't really know how the defense was going to go, and he said he's been pretty surprised and pretty happy with how quickly the defense has come together into a solid unit.
And so this will be one of the better games, we hope, this week will be East Webster at Calhoun City. Both teams 5-1. Calhoun City coming off that win in Chattanooga, Tennessee. They played at Notre Dame High School and won pretty convincingly there. Corinth at 3-3 is taking on Pontotoc. Pontotoc are a fourth-rated team in the large schools ranking. They're undefeated, 6-0. This will be the Division 1-4A opener for both of these teams. And, you know, Corinth coming off this loss to Kossuth, but they'd been playing better, and they still scored 29 points. It looks like offensively they're going to give this pretty solid Pontotoc defense some kind of challenge with that wing T.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be Pontotoc's real first challenge on defense since they played Houston early in the year.
Right.
I think that was even week one. So, and the defense really has not been tested too much up till this week. And, you know, obviously the wing T is a unique offense that you don't really prepare for too much. So, we'll see what happens. And, yeah, I mean, Corinth, they started the game just so slow last week against Kossuth, but, you know, started to click.
They made a bit of a comeback there.
Yeah, absolutely, right? It was 15-0 at halftime.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they scored 29 in the second half. And so, you know, we'll see if they can keep that momentum going into Pontotoc. But, I mean, Pontotoc has the ability to put up a lot of points, and that defense has been stout this year.
And that game will be at Pontotoc. And then we've got Tupelo. Again, they're undefeated, number one team in our large school rankings. They got to visit Columbus, and Columbus is a tough little team this year, aren't they, Gene?
Yeah, it's going to be Tupelo's toughest test to date.
They played West Point close. 17-13 was that score, wasn't it?
Yeah, and they've got a couple really weeks ago. Quarterback, C.J. Goller. Who's passed for over 700 yards and rushed for about 250. And they've got a back, running back. A lot of folks are looking at D1, Kalen Hill, who's rushed for 518 yards and scored 6 touchdowns. And I understand typical Columbus, they're big, they're athletic, they're fast.
Yeah.
And it will be – people will be lucky to come out of there.
Yeah,
with a victory,
probably looking at a low-scoring game, you would think. With the Tupelo's defense, and I'm sure, and I mean Columbus, I mean they held West Point 17.
Yeah, you know, I really hadn't thought about it, but we're probably going to see one of those 20-13, or 14-7s, or 17-7s, or something.
Yeah. Okay. So Tupelo at Columbus. Yeah. That's the
one game I didn't want us to overlook either. And I've got a story coming out tomorrow.
Sure
one
thing.
Of these teams is the Amory at Itawamba AHS. Itawamba is 5-0. We don't have them in our rankings. They certainly have played well enough to be in there. It's just hard to move a team in when you've got Pontotoc and Houston ahead of you, and Starkville and Tupelo and West Point.
Yeah.
You know, in the because they'd be number, school, they'd be in a larger class.
They'd probably be number 6 if we went past 5 teams.
Right. We may move them in and put them in there in a tie with somebody because they, you know, I know a lot of the teams and the kids look at this stuff. We certainly don't want to, you know, shortchange anyone on rankings. We do it to spur talk and interest only. But anyway, Itawamba team is really good. They got a 6'5" quarterback, Austin King. I happened to see him play in the scrimmage against Tupelo, in the Jamboree. And, he's really good. Caleb Whittle, they got a wide receiver.
Really just good.
Catches.
Yeah, he does.
Acrobatic catches, sideline, tiptoeing catches, you name it. He's done it all for him this year. So this, Itawamba team starts division play. They got Amory. Amory's improving.
Yeah, they are. They're 4-2. Yeah. So,
and Alan Glenn has returned home and done a good job there getting them back maybe in contention. That's a tough division. That division also has Pontotoc and Shannon and Corinth.
Yeah, that's 1-4A. That's usually a tough division in football. So that game is at Itawamba. Amory at Itawamba AHS. Other games of note to watch this week, you got Lafayette at Ripley and the 2-4A opener for those schools. Both teams are sporting 3-2 records. Then you've got Shannon at Tishomingo County. That's another 1-4A opener. Shannon off to a 4-1 start. And we had a story on Vincent McIntosh. They're 295-pound running back slash defensive tackle.
Yeah,
he's
it's
a load.
More like defensive tackle slash running
back.
Yeah,
well.
They wanted earlier in the year. They had Waylon, or they had an extra running back.
Right.
He's now out for the season.
Right.
With the knee injury. And so they've had to move McIntosh back in. Coach Carter compared him to Jerome Bettis. I don't know if I'd go that far, but I've seen his highlights.
He's bigger than Jerome.
He's got some moves. His hips move, and he can run, and he can avoid tackles. He's not just he'll run over you.
He'll
also run around you.
Wow.
And they played him at defensive tackle, and he's pretty quick.
Well, he went for over 100 yards last week.
His biggest
game of the year rushing-wise. But, yeah, he does – his main duty is that defensive tackle, and certainly he's a load there as well.
Right. But, and you got Keegan Huddleston, too. Kid
can
transfer him. Diplo's rushed for 700 yards this year.
And
that's – take your poison.
Yeah.
In that Shannon backfield.
Exactly. So Shannon at Tishomingo County, the Tishomingo is 3-3. All right, guys. So that's it for looking ahead, and we'll have a full coverage of these games and more in your daily journal on Saturday and at djournal.com. Of the week, Gene, who have we got? Let's start with the female athlete of the week.
Well, Emily Coggin, an eighth grader who's eighth a first grader. Baseman for East Union, had two home runs last night to help them win a division game against Mantachie. She had a three-run homer in the first inning and then hit the home run that closed the game on a run rule.
Nice.
And last week against Baldwin, she had a home run and a single. So
that's three home runs in two games.
Yeah, and you notice that Blake and I were talking earlier. I was telling him you see a lot of really good female athletes in the smaller grades.
Yeah, you do.
You do. I mean, seventh graders, eighth graders. And this girl's actually, she's another one of those in a long list of young ladies that we've had come through the area that are really talented at a young age.
Yeah. So Emily Coggin, your female athlete of the week, and male athlete of the week. Hey, still East Union.
Yeah. Well, you hate to give the laurels to both to the same school, but
I
thought of this one Friday night and I've stuck with it. Joel Wilkinson, the sophomore running back. I mean, my goodness, 343 yards rushing, five touchdowns.
That's tough to beat.
USite, you can say, well, they were playing USite. Well, I couldn't rush for that against no site. If there was nobody out there tackling, I'd probably fall a couple of times. So,
and he's had a really good year.
Oh, fantastic year.
In fact, we wrote about him earlier this week. He's got, 1,600 yards, right. 16 touchdowns, something like that.
Yeah.
So, Joel Wilkinson making – and East Union's having a good year.
They are. And when your team's having a good year and you're having a good year, you get a little link.
There you go. So, congrats to Emily Coggin and Joel Wilkinson, both of East Union, our athletes of the week. We do that every week, recognizing the exploits of high school athletes on the playing fields. And that's it for Prep Rally today. Again, it's a webcast and it's a podcast. Webcast comes to you every Wednesday around 11 a.m. The podcast version drops later in the day. You can find it in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. I want to remind you of a couple of other podcasts we have here. Another sports podcast we have is Double Coverage with Ole Miss reporter Parrish Alford and MEC reporter Logan Lowry. Every Thursday, a new episode drops in iTunes, your podcast apps, or doublecoverage.djournal.com. And, of course, The Memo with myself and W. Derek Russell every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Today's episode will drop later on this afternoon. You can Lauren Wood co-hosting in place of Derek, who's busy. But find that in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at memo.djournal.com. Follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps, and follow the Daily Journal on Twitter at djournalnow. We'll have all your updates on high school sports and more right there. So, guys, good show. Appreciate your time. Go write some more about football. All right, that's it for today. We'll be back next week here on Prep Rally. Thanks for joining us.